Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022, Psalm 25.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, this great acrostic psalm. And we are in the psalmic file, goes through the Hebrew alphabet. And we are in verse 14, the psalmic file. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will take the absolute truth of your word and make it a source of blessing and nourishment to each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey, it's not your imagination. Things are bad. As bad as you thought, and maybe worse. It might not be a surprise to hear me say it, but how about hearing it from the United Nations? Last week, the United Nations Office of Disaster Risk Reduction, from now on I'm going to call that UNDER, released a stunning report. According to UNDER, between 350 and 500 medium to large scale disasters took place every year over the past two decades. That is a mind-boggling five times the disaster rate of previous decades. And they say it's getting worse. Some of those disasters were naturally occurring, such as hurricanes and earthquakes. Others came as a result of what UNDER calls, quote, a broken perception of risk based on optimism, underestimation, and invincibility, unquote. Mami Mazzatori, the head of UNDER, said, quote, by deliberately ignoring risk and failing to integrate it in decision making, the world is effectively bankrolling its own destruction. Optimism can be a good thing, but not when it blinds us to reality, to danger. When I hear the words optimism, underestimation, and invincibility, I think of world leaders ignoring what God says and naively going their own way. In their arrogance, they disregard right and wrong. Convinced of their own brilliance, they assure the rest of us that everything will turn out okay. Meanwhile, they willingly risk long-term catastrophe for short-term gain. It happens in almost every area of public life. Leaders repeatedly choose immediate political or monetary gain over what's really best. We see it when politicians try to buy elections using deficit spending. We see it when businesses warehouse as little as possible, including food. This makes everyone vulnerable to even a small supply chain disruptions, but it increases profits, at least in the short run. The United States government is now releasing 1 million barrels of oil per day from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The government hopes to appease angry voters by lowering the price of gasoline a few pennies a gallon. Our leaders ignore the fact that in the present state of the world, our nation might soon need every bit of that reserve. It's another case where they ignore long-term solutions in favor of quick and easy actions that turn out to be more symbolic than substantive. There are too few Josephs among us, too few men and women with the vision to prepare nations in good times for difficulties ahead. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the best thing, now, he will tell you what he says is the best thing. Now Pastor Olson's going to cut in here. He didn't. This is not Hal Lindsey. This is Pastor Olson. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the best thing is what you're doing right now. There is nothing better, more important than what we do here 5 times a week. The best thing you can do is live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. What's the first spiritual skill? Filling of the Spirit. What's the second spiritual skill? The teaching ministry of the Spirit. And your consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. You grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and become a part of the pivot in our nation. That's the best thing. For the pivot to get bigger. That's the best. So there you got it from, that's from Pastor Olson, and I got that from God. Now I'll get Hal Lindsey. What Hal Lindsey says is the best thing you can do is one of the results. One of the results of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And that is, as a result of reaching spiritual maturity, you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Your personal love for God the Father will motivate impersonal love for all mankind. And that impersonal love for all mankind will be include fulfilling your royal ambassadorship and present the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Yes, that is important. But that's a result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And then you'll attain occupation with Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest motivation in all of your life you'll ever have. occupation with Jesus Christ and sharing the happiness of God. That also means you have, as a spiritually mature believer, come under greater grace blessing from God. Spiritual blessing, temporal blessing, blessing by association, historical impact on your nation, suffering for blessing, and dying grace blessing. So all of that, that's not what Hal Lindsey put down there. Those who know Jesus need not live in fear, even when the world is bankrolling its own destruction. But we need to spread the good news with urgency. And as I say, you will, as you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you reach spiritual maturity, a result will be you will fulfill your royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Remember Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. All right, Psalm 25. We're going to start at halfway through the psalmic file in verse 14. Verse 14, so far we have the counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear Him. That's as far as we got. The psalmic is the 15th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The psalmic represents a prop or a fulcrum. The Hebrew verb psalmak means to rest on or to support. And the psalmic file is emphasizing the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart is the fulcrum that enables the winner believer to lift the heavy rocks of adversity and suffering for blessing. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart develops virtue love, which enables the winner believer to handle the greatest of adversity. The psalmic file emphasizes category number 2, fear of the Lord, which is occupation with Jesus Christ. And that enables the spiritually mature believer David to handle the Absalom revolution and the civil war. Occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God enables the winner believer to clear the hurdles of disaster testing and people testing and system testing and thought testing. And you're going to be facing a lot of those things in the days ahead. The counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear Him. Category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ. And we had the word we translated, the counsel of the Lord, is a very, very special word in the Hebrew. Very rare word. It's very rarely found in the Old Testament scriptures. So, S-long-O-D, soth. First of all, this word was used for a divan or a sofa. I was told by my wife nobody used the word divan anymore or davenport. That's only old people that use that word. Now you use different terms. Mostly you use things like love seat. Now that's a... Okay. It was a sofa, a couch. Then it was used for sitting together with friends. A circle of familiar friends. an assembly of friends for consultation. And then it was used for intimate friendship, intimate counsel with the Lord. And by the way, when you reach spiritual maturity, the greatest title that is given to you as a believer is that of friend of God. That is what happens when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You become the friend of God. And Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. And as it were, in the heart of your soul, you have a couch, a sofa, a recliner. The Lord Jesus Christ is in one recliner. You're in the other. And you have intimate friendship, intimate counsel with the Lord. So it was a word for familiar counsel and intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ making himself at home in the heart of the winner believer. This is Ephesians 3, verse 17, and turn over again to Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3, what he has in his heart is Psalm 25, verse 14, the Psalmic file. What David is writing here in Psalm 25 is the same thing the Apostle Paul is writing in Ephesians chapter 3. They're communicating the exact same thing. David's a winner believer. The Apostle Paul is a winner believer, and he's giving instructions for all of you as royal family of God. Ephesians 3, verse 14, for this reason I kneel down before the Father. And the spiritually mature believer, he has powerful and effective prayers, and they accomplish much. The Apostle Paul had powerful and effective prayers, and they accomplish much. They're for you. I expect all of you. Most believers haven't got a clue as to what prayer is, how prayer works, when it's effective and when it goes nowhere. A lot of Christians do a lot of praying that doesn't go any further than the ceiling. The right thing must be done in the right way to be right. And you all have been taught that. This church has been taught that from the time I got here. And I've told you about a fella who was in our group. We were affectionately called at Dallas Seminary Themies Weenies. Not by us, but by the other people in the seminary. And he was one of the group. And we were eating lunch one day, and he said, I don't think prayer works. Well, the rest of us looked at him, and we said, our eyes bugged out. I said, what? I don't think prayer works. Are you kidding? Prayer, it works. It's powerful. We're commanded to pray. We're told how to pray. And he had the gift of pastor-teacher. And I said, what are you going to do when you get in your congregation? You going to tell them prayer doesn't work? We're canceling prayer meeting. Prayer doesn't work. Well, after he said that, I right then gritted my teeth and I said, I am going to study everything I can in the Word of God about prayer. And when the Lord provides me with some of His sheep to feed, they're going to learn how to pray and pray effectively, why prayers don't work, why they do work. They're going to know the inside out of it. And from the time I got here, that's been taught and taught and taught. And it's kind of, word's gotten out all over the country that there's some great prayer warriors at Upland Bible Church. And we get phone calls from all over the country asking to be put on the prayer list because they know about the prayer warriors here. And I appreciate all the prayers that you have for me. I didn't know if I was even going to be back up here teaching the Word of God. That's not my call. I'm not the sovereign God of the universe. And He has a perfect plan. And I told him, Sir, you have the plan. You call the play. If you say, get it, your butt up here in heaven, I'm there. And believe me, I'm happy to be there. And if you say, well, you're not going to come up now, but you're not going to teach anymore at Upland Bible Church, okay, that's fine. You call the shot, yes, sir, that we'll do it, and that's it, done deal. Or you might say, get back in the saddle. I'm back in the saddle, I'm just not doing very good with my knees, that's all. But I'm back in the saddle and teaching the Word of God. That whatever your plan is, sir, I love you more now than I ever loved you before in my life, and you're the potter, I'm the clay. You call the shots, and from this end it's yes, sir, we'll do it. So right now he said, get back up there, and you're not going to get out of this that easy. Get back up there and feed my sheep. Yes, sir. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit, by the agency of God the Holy Spirit, in your inner man. How does the Holy Spirit do that? Through the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, consistently and faithfully being strengthened in your inner man, so that Christ may make Himself at home in your hearts. That's occupation with Jesus Christ. That's our word, soth. David writing Psalm 25, the Psalmic file, soth. It's exactly the same thing. So that Christ may make Himself at home in your hearts through faith, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in virtue love, that's what it is. When Christ makes Himself at home in your heart, you've been grounded in virtue love. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. But the greatest motivator of all is occupation with Jesus Christ and sharing the happiness of God. That and being established in virtue love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love for Christ, occupation with Jesus Christ, and to know this love that surpasses gnosis, surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Well, what Paul writes in Ephesians 3 is the same thing David is writing here in Psalm 25, the psalmic file, with the word soth. So this is Jesus Christ making Himself at home in the heart of the winner believer. The believer who attains category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, is sitting on the couch or the recliner in your heart, counseling you. And He's counseling you from the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. And then the Tetragrammaton, this counsel is from the Lord. The mind of Christ, metabolized doctrine in the heart. The preposition lama belongs to, and then the participle of yare is a substantival participle. It's used as a noun, correctly translated, the ones who fear Him. Third person singular masculine suffix him is occupation with Christ. The counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear Him, occupation with Jesus Christ. This is category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ makes Himself at home in the winner believer's heart, Ephesians 3:17, as well as Psalm 25:14. The Lord Jesus Christ counsels the spiritually mature believer from the mind of Christ, maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. The winner believer's counsel is from the Lord. The problem-solving devices of occupation with Christ and self-contained happiness counsel David in the midst of the Absalom revolution and civil war to do the right thing and glorify God. The counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear Him, occupation with Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and says it in the King James, and He will show them His covenant. This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the noun bereath, with the third person singular masculine suffix, plus the preposition lameth, prefixed to the hifil, infinitive construct of yada, with the third person plural masculine suffix. Yada. Now, I was told I could turn this thing. Aha! Y-A-D-A-I-N. Yada. All right, one, and the cal stem, yada, means to know, it means to learn to know, it means to acquire knowledge. To know, to learn to know, to acquire knowledge. That's in the cal stem. We don't have the cal stem. Two, in the hifil stem, which is what we have, yada means to cause to know or to teach. To cause to know by teaching the Word of God. Three, the believers who have category 1 fear of the Lord, humility. It starts out category 1 fear of the Lord, humility. Those believers are teachable. That is the foundational virtue. If you're ever going to advance in the spiritual life, if you're ever going to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you're ever going to attain spiritual maturity, then you must have category 1 fear of the Lord, humility. You must be teachable. And humility is respect. It's respect for the authority of God. It's respect for the authority of the Word of God. It's respect for the authority of the communicator of the Word of God. Now, there are a lot of believers that have no respect for God, no respect for the Word of God, and sadly to say, they don't have any respect for the communicator of the Word of God. They think they know better. And they do the exact opposite of what the communicator of the Word of God says or teaches. That's just total arrogance. They have no humility, and they are not great believers. Four, category 1, fear of the Lord, humility is the beginning of wisdom. Category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ, is the completion of wisdom. So category 1, fear of the Lord, humility, is the beginning of wisdom. And category 2, fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ, is the completion of wisdom. 5, the Lord will teach them. The Lord will cause them to know His covenant. Hifil stem of Yada. The Lord will cause them to know His covenant. Will teach him the absolute truth of the Word of God. 6, this is describing the pivot of spiritually mature believers in the client nation to God. This is describing the pivot of spiritually mature believers in the client nation to God. Now, this is being written by David. David had been driven from the throne by his own son, Absalom. who has usurped the authority of his father. Absalom is a believer in Jesus Christ, and Absalom is a reversionist living in the cosmic system of interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. He's driven his father from the throne. He has made himself king. Ahithophel, who was David's number one advisor and also the grandfather of Bathsheba, whom David committed adultery with and murdered Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, Ahithophel was so mad that he joined the Absalom revolution to try to destroy David. And he is in reversionism. He's living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Absalom will die the sin unto death. He will fail. The revolutionary forces will fail to destroy David and the establishment forces that are with David. Ahithophel will also die the sin unto death. But David will be restored as king and given greater blessings than he ever had before the Absalom revolution. So this is describing the pivot of spiritually mature believers in the client nation to God. It included David, but it also included, he had with him establishment forces that went with him when he left the palace in Jerusalem. And they are also great, great believers. And that includes them as well. 7. This pivot of spiritually mature believers, they have positive volition and genuine humility. And therefore they respond to the authority of God, His Word, and to in the Word of God, they respond to establishment truth and doctrinal truth. They have positive volition and genuine humility, and therefore they respond to God and the Word of God, establishment truth and doctrinal truth. 8, David and the establishment forces believe the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. David and the establishment forces believe the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. Unfortunately, that's not the case with Absalom, Ahithophel, and the revolutionary forces. 9. While Absalom's revolutionary forces reject the truth and wind up believing the lie and living their life in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So point 8 was David and the establishment forces believe the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. Point 9, on the other hand, Absalom's revolutionary forces reject the truth and wind up believing the lie and live their lives in the cosmic system. And then we have the noun bereath. That's B Shiva R long I T H, bereath. And literally, bereath means covenant, but Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 136, and by the way, I would never know this, and nobody else would, if it hadn't been indexed, and that was my. That was my master's thesis, was indexing BDB, Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And I've worn my index out. And it's out there, it's available for all pastors. But we have almost no pastors today studying from the Hebrew and the Greek. Almost none. And that means we are headed to the dark ages spiritually. But it's there. It's available. It's available for men who want to prepare for the ministry. Remember Pastor Breckel calling me in before I left for Dallas Seminary. He said, "Dick, when you get to Dallas, you get as much of the languages that you can." And so I thought, well, I'm going to major in Hebrew because, well, look at that. Does that look like anything? There's nothing in Hebrew script that looks like English. Nothing. There's at least, you can look at some of the Greek letters and you go, yeah, I kind of, but look, so I thought, well, that looks like a damn chicken walked across the page with ink on his feet. So I'm going to major in Hebrew because that seems by far the most difficult. And then I'm going to minor in Greek, and I'm going to get all the Hebrew and Greek that I can while I'm there. And that's what I did. And my thesis, my master's thesis, was Hebrew and indexing BDB. And you see, I never would have found it. The problem with BDB is nobody, you could spend hours trying to find the word in your verse, and you're just wasting all your time. Now you can go right to it, and there you got it. Brown, Driver, and Briggs on page 136 says, in our verse, it means an alliance of friendship between God and the believer who fears the Lord. An alliance of friendship between God and the believer who fears the Lord. How cool is that? So one, David is a man after the Lord's own heart. David is a man after the Lord's own heart. Two, David is the friend of God. There's nothing like being the friend of God. Three, therefore David has confidence that the Lord will deliver him in this historical crisis and national disaster. So the corrected translation, the counsel of the Lord belongs to the ones who fear Him, occupation with Christ, and therefore He will cause them to know this alliance of friendship between God and the believer who fears the Lord. All right. By the way, I was studying, I'm working on the next book we're going to be studying after Psalm 25. And I guess what I came across? Loon. Loon. The verb we had here, verse 13, I believe it is. His soul will spend the night. Spend the night. Loon, spend the night. Suffering for blessing. That David endured in the Absalom revolution. Loon. And in the book that I'm studying for the next one after Psalm 25, loon. Again, I go, this is so great. We're going to spend the night again. But here we have a winter believer spending the night. In the next book we'll be studying, it's reversionist spending the night. It's the difference between suffering for blessing and suffering for discipline. But they're both spending the night. The winner believer spends the night in suffering for blessing. Loser believer spends the night in suffering for discipline. That's the next book. I'm not going to tell you what that is. Now you can start a little gambling thing out there. Upland Bible Church, pick what will be the next Hebrew book we'll study. And whoever's going to head up that thing, don't settle for 25 cents. Man, get the big bucks out there, you know. And if you, none of you get it right, it all goes to Pastor Olson. Verse 15 is the IN file. Looks like that. A-Y-I-N. Ayin. The Ayin file. This is the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Ayin represents the I. So a couple of things by way of introduction. One, the Ayin file means to understand. It means to see. That's what you use eyes for, to see. To see, to know, to perceive, to understand. That's the Ayin file. But you're seeing, not with your physical eyes, you're seeing the greatest eyes you have are in here, in your heart. The greatest eyes, not the physical eyes of your body. The greatest eyes you have are the eyes of your heart. But you have to have light to see in the heart. Light to see God. Light to see the plan of God. Light to see the will of God. Light to see the purpose that God has for your life. And that light comes from the Word of God. The Word of God is the light so that the eyes of your heart can see God, His plan, will, and purpose for your life. That's the greatest thing ever. If you go blind with your physical eyes, okay, you go blind. And there are people that have all kinds of macular degeneration and all these different things that go on, and a lot of times they lose their sight. Several people in old age, they lose their sight. That doesn't mean you have missed out. The greatest eyes you have are the eyes in your heart. Two, the eye in file is the thinking divine viewpoint file. Thinking divine viewpoint file. Three, this is David's divine viewpoint thinking in the midst of historical crisis and national disaster. This is David's divine viewpoint thinking in the midst of historical crisis and national disaster. This is why you need to have. You need to have light of Bible doctrine in your heart so that you can think divine viewpoint in the midst of all that's going on. In the worldwide pandemic, the apostasy of client nation USA, the satanic attack of Russia on the Ukraine, satanic all the way. But we're not living in the tribulation. We're living in the church age, and the restraining ministry of the Spirit is operating, and He operates through the pivot of mature believers. And so I trust that you're all praying every day for the believers in the Ukraine. There are great believers in the Ukraine that are there. And in the midst of all this that's going on, they are teaching Bible doctrine. The Christians are going out to the soldiers, Ukrainian soldiers on the front lines, and teaching them Bible doctrine, communicating the gospel. They are putting themselves in harm's way, and they are great believers. And I trust that you're all praying for them every single day, and praying for the forces, Ukrainian forces, that they become stronger and can repel the evil, satanic attack of the Russians. It is totally satanic all the way. So this is David's divine viewpoint thinking in the midst of historical crisis and national disaster. Four, the eyes of David's soul are occupied with Jesus Christ. The eyes of David's soul are occupied with Jesus Christ. The most important love in David's life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as we saw with Abraham when the Lord told them to take his son, his only son, Isaac, a teenager, up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering, a sacrifice of the burnt offering. And Abraham, yes, sir. He didn't argue. Yes, sir. You are the sovereign God. You call the plays. Yes, sir. And they were out the door and told the servants, we are going to go up and worship and we are going to come back. Because he had absolute, total love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the eyes of David's soul are occupied with Christ. Five, therefore, David expects deliverance from the Absalom revolution. And he will get it. David expects deliverance from the Absalom revolution. The eye in file. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. This is the dual of the noun ayin, with the first person singular suffix, plus the adverb tamiv, plus the preposition el, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton. Ayin, with the first person singular suffix, is my eyes, David's eyes. So David, as he starts this ayin file, starts out, my eyes. But these are not David's physical eyes that he's talking about. One, these are the eyes of David's soul. These are the eyes of David's soul. Two, the most important eyes that you possess are the eyes of your soul. The most important eyes that you possess are the eyes of your soul. Three, metabolized doctrine in your heart provides the light of the Word of God. Metabolized doctrine in your heart provides the light so that the eyes of your soul can see God, can see God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Metabolized doctrine in your heart provides the light so that the eyes of your soul can see God and God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. For from the light of Bible doctrine in his soul, David can see the divine perspective. He can think divine viewpoint. From the light of Bible doctrine in his soul, David can see the divine perspective. He can think divine viewpoint. Five, the light of Bible doctrine in the heart results in being able to see the Lord. Occupation with Jesus Christ. I hope you all have got to the point where in your heart you can see Jesus Christ in his recliner and you're in your recliner in front of the fireplace in your heart and enjoying intimate fellowship and friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the adverb tamid. T-A-M, long I-D, tamid. Tamid means continually, continually, moment by moment, day by day. This is the what goes on in the heart of the winner believer, not the loser believer, the winner believer. And then the preposition L denotes motion to or direction towards. It means toward, unto, on. And then the tetragrammaton, the most sacred name for God in the Old Testament. YHWH. If you pronounced it, it would be Yahweh. It was never pronounced. It was too sacred and holy by the Orthodox Jews. They would always read Adonai when they saw the Tetragrammaton. This is the Lord. This is Jesus Christ. There is no verb in the original autographs. And again, you would never know this if you don't study from the Hebrew. And most pastors do not. There is no verb in the original autographs. This adds great, great emphasis to the fact that David is occupied with Jesus Christ. So the corrected translation, my eyes, the eyes of his heart, are continually on the Lord. That's the great way to describe occupation with Jesus Christ. One, occupation with Christ is personal love for our Lord Jesus Christ through maximum metabolized doctrine in your hearts. Occupation with Christ is personal love for our Lord Jesus Christ through maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Two, the Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home in the heart of the spiritually mature believer, where the eyes of the soul can see him through the light of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home in the heart of the spiritually mature believer, where the eyes of the soul can see him through the light of the Word of God. And that's how you're going to see him. See, none of us have seen Jesus Christ physically. But you have the privilege and the honor of seeing him in your heart, with the eyes of your soul, continually, moment by moment, day by day. And you will, if you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home in the heart of the spiritually mature believer, where the eyes of the soul can see him through the light of the Word of God. Three, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart gives the spiritually mature believer the capacity to see and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart gives the spiritually mature believer the capacity to see and to love the Lord Jesus Christ with the most important eyes that you possess, the eyes of your soul. Four. Therefore, even though you have not seen him with your physical eyes, you can love him because you see him with the eyes of your soul through the light of Bible doctrine. Therefore, even though you have not seen him with your physical eyes, you can love him because you see him with the eyes of your soul through the light of Bible doctrine. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter 1, 8. First Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen him, you haven't seen him with your physical eyes. Though you have not seen him with your physical eyes, you love him occupation with Jesus Christ. And even though you do not see him now with your physical eyes, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible happiness. The other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ is self-contained happiness. Together, this is the greatest motivation in your life. Personal love for God the Father motivates impersonal love for all. But the greatest motivation of all in your life, occupation with Jesus Christ and self-contained happiness. And even though you do not see him now with your physical eyes, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible happiness full of glory. Point five. 1 Peter 1:8 teaches us that occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God are two sides of the same coin. You have the one, you have the other. You have occupation with Jesus Christ, you have self-contained happiness, you share the happiness of God, and this becomes the greatest motivator in your life. Six. Spiritually mature believers who have attained occupation with Christ have true happiness. They have true happiness, plus H. And they are spiritually self-sustaining. Spiritually mature believers who have attained occupation with Christ have true happiness. And this happiness isn't something that's around when things are going well and then disappears when they aren't. No, this happiness is there no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in the marriage, no matter what's going on in the family, no matter what's going on at the job, no matter what's going on in America. And there isn't hardly anything going on in America that is great. We are in total apostasy, period. Over and out. And the greatest thing you can do is do what you're doing right now. Because the only hope for America is the pivot of spiritually mature believers. Unfortunately, more and more and more are peeling off into the cosmic system. Reversionism, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. Seven, the happiness from occupation with Christ is an inexpressible happiness, which you can't communicate to others. 1 Peter 1:8. It's something that belongs to the privacy of your own soul. That intimate friendship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. He's made himself at home in your heart. You have this intimate friendship, moment by moment, day by day, fellowship with Jesus Christ, and he communicates to you through the mind of Christ. 8. There are two divine mandates with regard to occupation with Christ. Two divine mandates with regard to occupation with Christ. Turn over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. This is occupation with Christ. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. What was the One of the great problem-solving devices that Jesus Christ had in his true humanity. Well, he had personal love for God the Father. That motivated him to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father and go to the cross and bear the sins of the world in their judgment. But one of the great problem-solving devices that the Lord Jesus Christ had in his true humanity was plus H, who for the joy, the happiness set before him, endured the cross. The problem-solving device, that one of the main ones that enabled him to endure what he went through, the greatest undeserved suffering in all of human history, was plus H, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, occupation with Christ, who endured such opposition from sinful men, such undeserved suffering, unfair suffering, suffering for blessing, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's your role model. If you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance the spiritual maturity, then you will be qualified to receive undeserved suffering for blessing. And that is a great, great honor given only to those few believers who attain spiritual maturity. You got a role model of how you pass it. And then turn over to 1 Peter 3, and we'll end with this evening. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. And this is attaining spiritual maturity, occupation with Jesus Christ. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope. This is hope too, of greater grace, blessings, and time for the winner believer that you have. But do this with gentleness, grace orientation, and respect, humility. All right? Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.